And as has now become the norm with Folking.com interviews, magical things happen, especially at the New Forest Folk Festival. And as I was interviewing Steele Span, Steve Knightley came into the beer garden, who had just done a stunning performance with his new band Dream in Colour. And we all sort of had a multi-directional chat. Do enjoy. And here I am in the artist garden, quite a buzzy artist garden at the New Forest Folk Festival, and I've just literally bumped into, well, not quite bumped into, but, you know, strolled over to Steele Span. I've got Julian here.
Hello, hi, how are you?
I've got Jesse.
Hey.
Hiya. I've got Spud here.
Indeed, hello.
I've got Liam here.
Hello there.
And I've got Patch. How are you all doing? You busy time for you guys.
Yeah, we're good, we're good. We've been, we had a busy tour in May. And we've got a couple of festivals now, and then we're out again in October, and we might do a new album if we can get it together.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. Find the time.
Come on. And Jesse, I was looking you up, and it had a question mark on whether you was going to play or not. What's that all about? You can't be not playing.
Well, no, I mean, I'm here, and, well, very much loving playing at the festivals. I'm not touring so much at the moment because of my littlies, but
you got little ones. Lock them in a cupboard.
Yeah,
that's not a dumb thing, is it?
I'll let you. That's all right. Apparently, that's completely fine. You won't get cancelled. No, no.
No, so you're looking after them. How old are they now?
3 and 5.
Oh man, that's a handful.
Yeah.
Mine are 33 and 35, and they're still handfuls.
Yeah, of course they will.
Do you know what?
You don't like to leave them alone, though, do you?
All of you guys, if you've got kids, like, when they get that old, it's like my phone's constantly on. I'm on call.
Yeah.
It's like on call for that phone call with Dad. I've been dumped. I'm out in something like that. So the 50th anniversary is what you're doing, I guess.
Well, it's now actually. Yeah, it's gone on with that because we had COVID, of course.
Yeah. You know, it ruined it.
So it was a bit tricky.
We're at 55 now.
It's actually 50-50.
Yeah,
it started 69.
It's so creeping on and on. It's like you said earlier on, you'll be in the 60th before long.
That's it.
Well, yeah. But I was only 2 when the band started. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's right.
I've been in the band. This is my 15th year.
Yeah.
And Liam's pretty new as well. He's only been in it. How long have you been in the band, Liam?
35 years.
35 years now.
Yeah.
God, you don't look a day like you've just walked in.
I'm not. Yeah, 1989 I joined.
Yeah.
And then
you weren't that old when you joined, were you? Oh, you're 9.
I was 89 then. I'm now 174. I am, honestly.
You're all sounding fantastic. I know that much for sure. And where are we going from here? Because obviously I think you got a bit delayed with your albums and your tours. What's happening in the next sort of year for you lot?
Well, we've got to develop some new material, really. Or old material that we then will redo. As is to say, find some good subject matters to attack within the writing department. It's an open book, really. You know, as I say, we've got this Green Man collection out, which is an amalgam of old and new stuff. And there's a few things that me and Spud and Maddie developed during the last year that aren't on that album that we'll record properly, because we've only ever done sort of
on the new album when we get the time.
But the next tour is October, so we're just hoping we could maybe get something done for then.
It's still a bit of time, isn't there? I mean, I know it's difficult.
You'd be surprised how quick it comes round.
So what's your involvement now? You writing with Julian, you two writing together?
Well, yeah, we do that. It's a collective thing. Everybody writes, everybody contributes.
There was a time when we just brought stuff in, you know. But certainly nice. Maddie prefers it, and actually I prefer it as well. Is if you've got a germ of an idea,
yes,
and then we develop it together, that's the best way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nothing like being in a room together, is it, when you get that vibe going? Because I play myself, and it's like you can write all the songs you want sitting in my little studio. Until you get in a bigger place, and they're all, you just vibe off of each other a bit more, don't you?
It's when you get another angle. You think you've got the song completed.
Yeah.
You've demoed it, you've played it at home, and you think, that's it, it's done.
Yeah.
Then you present it to the band listens to it, and someone plays a different chord, or say, let's have an extra chorus there. Suddenly the song goes somewhere else that you would never have thought of yourself, and it improves it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because you have to have the open mind to let people in on it, because those people who lock themselves away and do everything themselves, I'm not saying it doesn't turn out good, you only have to look at Jeff Lynne for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I sometimes think even Jeff Lynne's songs might have been better if he'd let someone else do something.
Yes, exactly.
The way Steely Dan developed, of course, in the early days. Yeah. They were getting it together in the country, to coin a phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
And they spent months just doing the same riffs and stuff like that, you know. Yeah. Must have been great. It was driven them mad.
Didn't get them anywhere. I'm joking.
We've got the battle scars to prove it, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm only joking. I'm joking.
Yeah, no, Maddie used to sit there and wait till the guys... with her knitting, that's how she learnt to knit, I think. Well, she could probably knit before that.
Yeah.
She likes... To develop things together.
Yeah. You know? It's a good thing when you're all in a nice room together. It's what it's all about. It's musicianship. It's a vibe. Yeah. And, you know, I don't like sitting in. I've got a little recording studio, and I sit there and I can write songs. I can do it on my own. But until I get in the room with the lads, you know, and then the bassist will do something like really funky, and or the drummer or whatever. Well, our drummer's just left, so we won't do anything. But we've got a better drummer now. And talking of that, actually, because I know that you guys make so much difference, and a lot of the time drummers are sort of, they're there and they play. But what you do is fantastic. And I've noticed from playing, I've only just noticed this recently, because I played the Rochester Sweets Festival with my lot.
Yeah.
And our drummer had just left, and we got this new guy, and he used to play in a Who tribute band, right?
All right.
Yeah. He turns up for a folk rock group. Turns up with his drum kit with the target on it. You're like, I thought, oh my God, what have we got here? His name's Brian. Hi, Brian, if you're listening. And he just changed the whole dynamic just because of what he did as a drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like thunder going off, and I've never sort of heard the of it, because my guy was a little bit tippy tappy. So you're, you know, a major.
I'd like to regard myself as I played a song. That's what I think I do.
Yes.
Played the vocals. I go with the vocals. Yeah. I'm a good listener.
It's the little things you do to add that drama, you know. I think it's
never the same.
It's brilliant. No, it's great. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant. So good luck to you guys.
Steve. Well, we know the feeling. No, it sounded fantastic.
For listeners listening to this interview, Steve Knightley's just walked up and poured himself a beer. Hello.
The doll
make a noise. Yeah. Well, while I'm here, it's Paul from Folking.com. Hello, Steve.
Right.
What a fantastic gig that was. Well
nice
done.
Nice debut gig, wasn't it?
Oh, mate,
it was
tremendous.
And your singing voice
is
lovely.
Yeah, I'm taking it a lower range. More attitude than less folky, a bit more gravelly. So.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It sounds good.
Yeah,
I'm trying to. I like all the influence at Eastern influences.
Well, thank you very much.
That's good.
Great noise from those with the banger style of the drums. Yeah. Fantastic.
What's that drum called?
The Doll.
The doll.
It's a weapon of war. That is.
Is it? What nationality is it?
It's a Bengali, really.
It's Bengali.
Yeah, it's throughout India, but
right.
He insists on having it mic'd up, but it doesn't.
Oh, mate.
I don't know any engineers that turn it on. But it's like,
we can tell him. I was just about to interview Steely Dan, but then you lot came on. I thought, forget it. It's no point trying to compete with that doll drum.
Yeah, he just started. He said, "I'm off. See them."
It's incredible. Yeah, I'm off. Yeah, it is.
And Eliza and Mike, Bennett, they're both amazing.
Yeah.
Classical trained musicians.
Are.
They know all the dots. So,
so we'll be seeing more of you lot as well, I guess.
We're going to do six festivals, and we'll look at it at the end of the summer and see if it's got legs, really, to get into WOMAD land and that.
The world music.
Is some of it actually written out?
They can. I don't know. They
just copy
it.
Yeah.
Liza can sight read that quickly. But,
can she really?
Oh God, yeah.
Bloody hell.
That's crazy.
They read flashing. That's nuts.
Well, what I will say is, don't get that anywhere else apart from folking.com. You get Steve Knightley, you get Steely Dan, all in the same. Brilliant talking to you guys. Looking forward to your set. Yeah, have a great time, and maybe I'll catch up with you when you start doing that tour in October.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Thank you. Cheers. Bye now.